Hello and welcome. This is Terry Levine, the Guru of Coaching, and I'm glad you've joined us for the Sounds of Coaching. I have a privileged opportunity today to spend some time with Allie Casey. And if you don't know Allie, Allie's someone you absolutely need to know and that I highly recommend, and she happens to be someone I know well. She is a Platinum VIP Coaching client. And here's what I want you to know before I bring Allie in today. Allie Casey helps businesses decrease misunderstandings to increase their productivity and profits. As a professional speaker and communications consultation trainer, Allie's programs help people at all levels communicate more effectively with others, especially with people that think differently than they do. Man, that's a good skill that we all need. Let me tell you, there's something that makes Allie different, and that's why I want you to sit up and pay attention to this interview. Allie brings the best of experience and expertise to her presentations. I have heard Allie speak, and I highly recommend Allie as a speaker. I'm a producer of events, and Allie is someone I would clearly have on my stage any day. Allie weaves humor and insight from her life stories with the in-the-trenches application to connect with her audiences. Her clients and audiences learn superior interpersonal skills that give them the competitive edge in today's challenging business climate. I am so honored and privileged to have with me today our guest, Allie Casey. Hi there, Allie.
Hi, Terry. Thank you for that generous introduction. I appreciate that, and I'm very happy to be here.
Well, Allie, it's absolutely the truth. I have to tell you that as an event producer, I'm very, very careful about who I select and would put on my stage. And truly, in all aspects, you are engaging, you are compelling, you are knowledgeable, and it's just an honor and a privilege, and I'm delighted to have this opportunity with you. I think that folks would find it very interesting to hear your background. Would you be willing perhaps to share just a little bit of how you got started in the speaking business?
Well, I sure will. And, you know, it's not that I grew up in a family of speakers, far from it, unless you want to count, you know, trying to be heard at the dinner table, which in an Italian family of nine, that was no easy task. It was more of a competitive sport. But the truth of the matter is I was a really shy kid. I don't mean just a little shy. I mean timid, handicapped, shy. And I'll share this story with you. On my last day of high school, one of my teachers said to me, "You know, you've been in my class for a year, and I don't know what your voice sounds like." Well, that was a huge wake-up call for me. And I knew that I needed to do something about it. I just never thought in my wildest dreams that speaking would become my profession. But actually, at my 20th high school reunion, I was voted most changed since high school, and I took that in a good way. The lesson there is, if I can do it, anyone can. And I'm not just talking about speaking. I'm talking about, you know, anything anyone aspires to become. The speaking part of it actually comes from my passion for teaching. I really think that came early, that I could see that when teachers were trying to explain things to students, if they weren't getting it, it was easy for me to see another way that they might be able to do that. When you really think about it, probably all those years of silence actually made me a better listener. And that's the key to good communication anyway, isn't it?
It sure is.
So, yeah. So my speaking career did not happen instantly. It didn't even happen with intent. I spent 15 or so years in the fashion business. I did everything from sales to manufacturing to design to merchandising, the whole bit. And, you know, I was getting burned out, and I wanted to do something that was really my own. So at that time, I decided to take every course I could on makeup and on image and image consulting, and eventually I earned my certification as a corporate image consultant and a business etiquette trainer. So I began leading image impact seminars, and what I realized was that the part that I loved the best was the part about the communication. So I thought, well, okay, that's really it. That makes much more sense for me. So to gain that knowledge and expertise, I became a trainer for one of the world's premier seminar companies at that time, specializing in communication skills. And essentially that got me the education without having to go back and, you know, spend many years in school. Because if you know anything about training companies, you get good fast. You're on the road speaking 6 hours a day, day in and day out, city after city. And I did it here in the U.S. and in the U.K. And I spoke to all kinds of audiences across all kinds of industries. And I did a lot of public seminars, which meant I had lots of different kinds of people in the audience. But one of the things I loved to do was to be able to do work for a particular organization to help them solve problems. And that really spoke to me. Now, the work doing a seminar training was, you know, physically and mentally challenging. But at the end of the day, no matter how exhausted I was, how many miles I still had to drive, how many planes I still had to catch, I could still say, I love what I do. So two things happened. I was just starting to build my own business off of this. And then the first thing that happened, of course, was the events of September 11th, 2001. And the second was that the seminar company filed bankruptcy about a month earlier to that event. So if you know speakers, you know that many, many, many of them had a very difficult time, you know, continuing their business. And mine was not even together at that point. So you know, I knew I needed to get on to Plan B. And I did. So I took a job as a sales manager, and I was managing and training a team of design consultants, and I was very, very fortunate. Not only was I, you know, leading my team and managing my team, but I was training and doing training programs, developing them. And the people I worked for were terrific. They gave me the opportunity not only to, you know, manage my team, but to train the entire organization in communication skills. And the best part is they paid me as a consultant in addition to that.
You know, I have to just share something that I find really interesting as I'm listening to you, and it was very engaging to hear your story. But one of the things that I found just so fascinating is myself and about at least 10 and maybe 14 other speakers that I know were all these kind of quiet and shy people who we weren't speaking. You know, seriously, as much as I talk nowadays and nobody could shut me up, I was the exact same way. So I just,
yeah, it's interesting.
Interesting. Yeah. But you actually said something that I thought was very true. Because we were sitting and doing so much listening, I really do believe that that's helped us, all of us, including myself, to become much better at listening and in becoming great listeners. And so when we were ready to begin to speak, I think we also are able to connect more with the audience. Does that make sense to you? Do you agree with that in any way?
Oh, I so agree with that. You know, there was a time, actually just recently, where I was, you know, taking an assessment of, you know, what was I good at and what worked. And I kept coming back to that, you know, I could listen to all different kinds of people and then, you know, sort of make a shift to get into how they approach things. And you know, that is one of the biggest challenges today, you know, personally and professionally, that people don't listen enough.
Well, I know that every single time that I've been with you and had the opportunity to hear you speak, whether you're speaking just to one person or to 10 people, one of the things that I notice is that you engage people. They're very interested in you. And what I'm sure people will get to hear soon, and they probably haven't heard too much of yet, but I know it'll come out because I know you, is the great sense of humor that you have. So you're one of the speakers that truly, in my experience, connects with your audience and really brings emotion into it. So I just wanted to make a comment about that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, and I do think that's one of the things. Not only do I strive to do it, but I think it's what makes a difference to my audience, that my approach to them is from the same place that they're coming, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they don't want to be there, you know? I always want to be there, but they don't.
Yeah.
But unless I address that and say, you know, I got you.
Yeah.
I got who you are today.
Yeah.
But here's some other things that we can do. And have a great sense of humor about it. I mean, you know, if we're talking about, you know, in the introduction there, it is about misunderstandings. If we would apply that, think about it, every sitcom. Every sitcom has to do with a misunderstanding. Now, in that case, you have 30 minutes and it's resolved. But if that happens in an organization, well, things get a little more serious.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're talking about healthcare, then it gets even more serious.
That's true.
So it kind of goes down the line. And as I broke down these communication skills, that's what stood out for me, that it's easy to be misunderstood. I'm sure that's never happened to you.
No comment.
And, you know, that's the crux of it. So if we can, you know, decrease that a bit, everything happens for the better. Because every misunderstanding costs something.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And I think, you know, you're also talking about a topic that is so important right now, in my experience anyway. I mean, what's going on in our world right now, there are so many miscommunications, misunderstanding. There's so much stress. You know, we're in this quote-unquote recession, and who knows what else is going on. So I really think that that's very important. What you're talking about is extremely important here. Now, what do you typically speak about? What do you like to speak about? What are you passionate about speaking about?
Well, as you can tell, it has obviously something to do with communication skills. And communication skills really cuts a wide swath. So in pairing my background in sales and marketing and image and etiquette and the 13 different titles that I did for the seminar company, I've really narrowed it down to four areas. But they're all centered around, you know, soft skills or communication skills. So we have a program that's, Powerful Communicator. And that gets to the real fundamentals. It's about what to say and how to say it. And I found that if you actually break down communication to its basic form, you'd be amazed at how many people really don't realize what the process is.
Mm.
And that when you break it down that way, they get the ahas about it. You know, I send the message, and then they think I'm done. No, you're not done. You know, just because you sent the message doesn't mean they got the message.
Yeah, we've
you
all
know,
had that
how
happen.
Long does it, yeah, and what happens between the time you send it and the time they receive it? What's going on in the middle there? So I have a lot of fun with Power Communicator and those fundamentals spelled F-U-N, capital.
I love that. I love that.
Then another aspect is communication styles made easy. And this is so much fun. You know, clearly, you know, communication styles breaks down into, you know, all different things. But it's really being able to, as I said, understand others and so that you can be understood. The process breaks to a simple place of observation, translation, adaptation. Well, I'll talk a little bit about that in a moment. Then there's, is it communicating or is it selling? Well, communication skills and selling skills really are one and the same. Because with my team, that's what we did. They did consultative selling skills day in and day out. And you could break it down for them, and they would get it. And they would understand, if I make this little shift, my customer starts to now get me. So that was really important in there. And then there's a program called Are You Kidding Me? You call that customer service?
That's a great name. I love it.
And that really gets to the question, would you do business with you?
Hmm.
And inside of that, it goes to the concept of servant leadership. And people misunderstand that quite a bit. But once again, the base there is really communicating in the way the other wants to hear it. But let me just get back there for a minute. There are all of those things. There's two things I love to do, and they apply to all of those programs. As I said, the first one is really breaking down those skills into the fundamentals. That I just have so much fun with that. And then the other favorite thing to do is to do those communication styles. You know, who am I speaking with? And what would I need to do there so that, one, you can better understand the other and so that you can be understood? It's a little Stephen Covey in there, if you will. Mm-hmm. Seek first to understand. But communication styles and behavior style assessments, they're all over the place, and they come in all different shapes and styles and colors and formats. But, you know, sometimes I even use flavors to talk about my communication styles, you know, the salty person, the spicy, the sweet one, the sour one, and that adds a little bit of fun to the learning.
Making me laugh.
Yeah, but the challenge with learning communication styles is that we don't carry around an assessment form for people and say, hi, it's really nice to meet you. You want to take this form and then I'll know how to speak to you? You know, it doesn't exactly work that way. So, the key there is to have a very quick method that is a starting place so that you can really begin immediately to make a quick connection with somebody.
Okay.
So that's a technique that can work for anyone that's greeting a customer in person, or it also works great for a front desk person that can make that same observation, be taught how to do that, and then provide that information to another associate.
Okay.
So, you know, if you will, I'll give you just a little bit about how that works.
Great. I was going to ask you that. You read my mind.
Good. Okay. So that technique is simple, and it's centered around pacing. And it's pacing in their walk, pacing in their eye contact, and pacing in their speech. So the first thing that you notice about somebody that's walking into your place of business, you want to ask yourself, what does that walk look like? Is it brisk? Is it energetic? Is it steady or is it slow? And that gives you some very good information right away. The second pacing is about eye contact. Do they have any at all or do they ignore you? Do they have a little bit but it's poor? Is it very good eye contact or is it excellent eye contact? And then the third thing you want to look for is how fast and forceful do they speak? Well, that's the first question. Is it fast and forceful? Or is it excited and rapid? Is it thoughtful? Or is it slow and repetitive? So do you think that you could do something like that, that take those three things and quickly be able to observe them about somebody? That doesn't feel so difficult, does it, Terry?
No, I actually think it would be something fun to sort of try. I'm like looking forward to trying it.
Yes, and that's what happens. So when I teach somebody that, then they're all doing it. You know, they're all watching, you know, how others are moving and doing. Because, again, when I first learned about communication skills, the funny thing was we were in this huge group, I mean, really thousands of people, and we walked out and we all had, you know, different little tags so that other people knew how to approach us now. But that doesn't happen. We're not walking around saying, well, you know, I'm a spicy person.
Yeah, we don't label ourselves and have little neon flashing signs. That would certainly make it easier for us.
Yeah, you know, or, you know, approach with caution or don't talk to me, I'm looking, you know.
I love it.
But that's exactly what happens when I teach this. They can immediately start to observe it. So it's the starting place. It's not the whole thing, but it's the starting place of something they can take and put it in their back pocket and use, you know, from that second on.
Okay.
Now, so people do love this.
That's what I was going to ask you. This has read my mind again. I was going to ask you, when you begin to teach this to people, do they resonate with it? Do they get it? I mean, do they get excited? How do they feel as they're learning this kind of information?
Well, that is the point right there. They do love it, and it is easy to learn, and it can be taught to anyone. So, you know, if you have an organization, sometimes these kinds of skills are only taught to, you know, one group of people, or maybe to the salespeople, or, you know, maybe only to tech people. But if everybody has that skill, then the information passes along. So, again, if I go back to my sales team, our front desk was taught how to do that. So they would then call. We had a, you know, the kind of selling we did, we had an up system. And they would tell the next designer, oh, okay, we had somebody came in and she stopped at the front desk and she gently asked permission to look around. Well, that's a huge clue.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
So that tells me I'm working with that that sweeter personality, the one that really wants to create a relationship, and now I know what my approach is. So now a designer is going to approach this person in exactly the way they want to be approached.
Gotcha.
So it makes a difference immediately. So rather than the designer coming out and, you know, if they're a more colorful designer, and I'm not asking anybody to, you know, stifle their personality, but that technique, again, just goes back to make the observation, do the translation, do a little adaptation. So you shift a little bit.
Got it.
And then you're still yourself. But you're making a big, big difference in that opening up that lines of communication.
I love it.
So, yeah, that makes sense.
It. Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, you keep going. I'm enjoying this. Keep going.
Okay. Well, you know, there's other stories about this and things where, you know, how do we use these kinds of techniques? And this is a different kind of story. I was hired to speak to an organization on diffusing anger and calming people down.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. In my interview with the meeting planner, I asked, why are you bringing this program in now? So she proceeded to tell me about an incident that had happened 3 years earlier, that one of their employees had been fired and they came back and shot and killed 3 people.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so that was my first response, oh, my gosh. And
yeah.
The second was, yikes, are you sure you have the right person for this program?
Mm.
Because, yeah, I'm thinking to myself, I did not have a background in social work. I don't have a degree in psychology. I don't have any other special education that's going to qualify me to talk to, you know, that situation. But I was under contract, so I needed to find another approach that was going to be, credible to this. This was a group of managers that they had flown in from all around the country.
Okay.
So interesting thing happened. In my research for this particular seminar, I found a study that looked at the transcripts of, you know, 9/11 or emergency operators during a shooting or a hostage incident. And what they found was that when the operator asked the caller if they knew who the shooter was, the callers frequently said something like this, I don't know, but I think it's so-and-so.
Mm-hmm.
Or they might say, I can't see them, but it's probably so-and-so.
Okay.
And then when they also were interviewing the CEOs of these organizations after these events, their response to the question, what did you think when you first heard about the shooting, too frequently their answer was similar to the 911 caller's response. They said, oh, well, when I first heard, I was hoping it wasn't so-and-so.
Wow.
Or I didn't know who the shooter was when I first heard about the situation, but I was suspecting it was so-and-so. And they were just talking, but, you know, the point really there is that we know these things already.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And, okay, so
yeah.
If we kind of dig a little deeper there, we can use that information. So as it turned out, the event planner for the day, you know how it goes, Terry. You give them a very carefully constructed introduction to read and say, please read this just as it is. And, you know, well, she did, and then she proceeded to follow it with the story of the shooting just in case there was a shift manager in the room. Yes, exactly. And I'm thinking, okay, great start.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. What did you do?
Well, I wasn't quite expecting her to tell the story again, but okay, there we were. So once again, I acknowledge the fact that they might be wondering why I was qualified to talk about that subject. Once again, I proceeded to tell them that I had done this research and that, no, I had no special degree in this area, but the beauty was that that allowed me to speak to them from a very practical approach to the topic rather than from a, you know, a theoretical or a psychological approach. So, in other words, what could any one of us do to prevent a difficult or a challenging or withdrawn or troubled employee from escalating into a very unfortunate situation? Because if we just look around, we already know who isn't fitting in.
Good point.
So, yeah. So from there, I was able to give them some skills again right then and there that made it easy for them to approach those individuals in the way those individuals wanted to be approached and communicated with, and then how to use, there's that listening and active listening to engage them. Well, I was fortunate because apparently they liked my approach, and many of those same managers who didn't want to be there stopped to thank me and said, you know, I didn't want to be here today, but now I've got tools I know I can go back and actually put to use, you know, at whatever plant or facility they were managing at the time.
And I really want to say, you know, one of the things that I'm very much enjoying, and I was taking notes on some of the things you were saying, because this is a really tough scenario. You know, I was trying to imagine myself getting on stage and someone doing a little intro like that, that, okay, let's bring everybody down to the lowest possible level, and that's got to be one of the most difficult environments I've ever heard. And you, what I really got, Allie, as you think on your feet, and because you're a good listener, and going back to that listening, I really believe that's how you connect to your audience. So you kind of knew, you heard how you were introduced, you knew the emotions of your audience. And I'll just share this. You know, lots of speakers who work with other speakers teach them on technique. And one of the things I don't teach is technique. What I teach is listening, not speaking, and connecting to the emotions of a group. And clearly this comes naturally to you. I just really want to commend that, because to take that kind of a situation and be able to turn it into not only to a positive, but to have people leave with tips, techniques, and tools, things they can actually use and apply, not only to say kudos to you, but we need more of that. So keep doing what you're doing, because we need this.
Thanks. It is. You never know what you're going to be handed or what's going to happen. And here's a quick story that kind of goes to what you were just talking about there, that I was planning to do this program, and there was some miscommunication, and this was back when I was still doing training and for the seminar company, and they had changed the hotel, and so half the participants were at one hotel and half were at another hotel, and my program manager was at the other hotel.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so you can imagine. And, you know, you have to keep, you know, right on the time schedule. You know, it has to start at this time and end at this time, and everything in between has to work. So, you know, clearly I'm running behind schedule. So now I'm get up in the front of that room, and there's at least 100 people in this session, and I've got one woman who is so outraged that she cannot contain herself, and she is just raging. How does this happen? I'm being polite here. And she cannot, she will, you know, not calm down. She's refusing to even give me her name. And I'm thinking to myself, if I don't manage this correctly, I'm really going to have a long day. I've got 6 hours ahead of me to manage this. And it was. It was about, okay, you're in control here. Use all those skills that you know. Listen. Give her the time to vent it all. Give her a solution. You know, let her make sure that she gets it all out. Ask that horrifying question of, is there anything else you need to say?
Yeah, I hate to ask that question because we know what could be coming, but we ask.
Because you've got to clean out, you know, all the garbage before anything new can go in there, you know. And the funny thing is that she in her ranting, she says, and you call yourself a good communicator? Well, the program was called How to Be a Great Communicator, so I had no choice but to, you know, to apply my trade, so to speak. But we got her to a place. She became a very engaged participant in the program, and you just, you know, it makes you better. That's all I'm going to say, is you just never know.
I love it. And that goes back to, again, the thinking on your feet, the meeting people where they're at, and I really believe that's why you're impactful with your audiences. You know, I'm kind of curious. So you could probably speak about anything. I mean, I could listen to you talk about anything because you're just really fun and you're engaging. Why is it that it's communication skills? Why is it that you decided this is what your area focuses?
That is a good question. There probably are things I could speak about. As I said, I have a background as a corporate image consultant. I've got business etiquette background. All those things will apply to what I'm doing. And I think it gets back to, you know, not being heard as a kid. You know, it all goes back to something like that. Really, I was that middle child of seven, and I felt invisible. Let's just get it on the table. That's how I felt. And I went through school like that. And I didn't want that to happen. I think that, you know, it doesn't matter what happens to you in life as well. It kind of all gets back to, how are you going to approach it?
Yes.
You know, how are you going to respond to things? And in fact, I asked that of my audience to, you know, would they agree to be responsible? You know, I take the word.
Oh, I like that. Words.
Yeah.
Good.
Can you be responsible today instead of, you know, reactive today?
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of puts them there. So somehow the communication skills really spoke to me. It speaks to all of these things, and it goes to all of those areas that I've been involved with. And, you know, I have found that I can speak to all kinds of audiences. That sort of evolved, and I was pleasantly surprised by that myself, I think. You know, I've spoken to, you know, military, I've spoken to scientists, I've spoken to manufacturing and education, government. The skills for communication run across the board.
Yeah,
I don't need to know the specifics of an organization. I do need to know their lingo and their language to the degree that it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to be speaking to an organization and, you know, saying something about their sales quota when they don't have a sales quota, they have a book of business.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to know the language of an industry. But the communication skills run on the same line. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes total sense, and that makes complete sense. And I will also say, as you were saying that, I was thinking, well, you probably do need to know if there's been a shooting. Sorry.
Yeah.
My brain just went there for a moment, so sorry.
I think the other thing there, too, is that that you can have an impact on somebody right away, and that you can see that difference, you can see the light bulbs go on, and there's a tremendous feeling there. And the beautiful thing about it is it's one of those skills that pays it forward.
That's beautiful. What do you mean by pays it forward?
That if you can learn a better way to communicate with someone, to connect with someone, now that person immediately feels heard.
Mm.
So if they feel it, that's something they, too, can if they're starting to feel appreciated, well, maybe the people they're talking to, they do that as well. So it's very interesting how it moves along.
So it's sort of the opposite of the old Zig Ziglar story, the kick the cat story, where you have a bad day and you take it out on somebody and somebody else takes it out on somebody and somebody else takes it out on somebody and on and on. You finally get home and the poor cat goes to greet you and you don't know why you walk in and kick the cat.
So yeah, right.
I like this much better. It's certainly more positive, more motivational. I really do.
Why
do people hire you when you get called by organizations, associations? I know you're busy. I know you're booked quite frequently as a speaker, and I know you're in demand because I want to get you on my platform, which I'm still trying to do. why are they calling on you? I'm just curious. I mean, we all get called for certain reasons, and I'm curious what yours is.
Well, you know, there's a couple of things there. You know, again, earlier you mentioned in that introduction that I've done it. So that's one of the key things. I bring that in the trenches experience. I've been there. I've done it. I've hired, I don't know how many people. I've interviewed more. I've fired plenty as well. And so, you know, I've had that experience. So it's not just talk. Again, it's not just, you know, theoretical. It's not that I've just been, you know, just doing this and, you know, not applying it. So it does apply. But let me answer, Terry, in a different way, in two ways, in fact. The first is from the meaning planner's perspective.
Great.
So what's the key there? The key there is to make it easy for them.
Yeah.
So the first thing I want to know is, are we a good match?
Mm.
You know, if we're not, it's not going to help anyone. As I said, to make it easy, I come early, I stay late if that's what's needed. I speak to the participants before the program, and if I need to speak to individual people during my prep and research work to, you know, hear their challenges or to know the inside scoop, that makes it tailored to them and to their business and their challenges. And the good thing is I can name names if I want to.
That's good, though. That is good.
That surprises them.
I like that.
Like, how did they know that about that person?
I like that.
Yeah. I don't make unreasonable demands. I adjust my program on the spot if needed. And another key thing there is I stay on schedule. You know, that's the key to making a happy meeting planner. And I make them look good. Probably that comes from, again, you know, the years of doing the seminar training where all those things had to be in place. And, yeah, you just rolled with it no matter what was going on.
Got it.
And the second thing is from a solution perspective. This is, you know, what people are looking for, why people hire me. I can solve problems at all levels. For instance, at the C level, the leaders, they can get more enrollment when they can communicate their visions a little more clearly. For managers, they can get more buy-in and more cooperation, and they can handle issues more effectively with better communication skills. And then associates at all levels, well, they have the opportunity to open up to more options and solutions and be collaborative when they communicate. So what do we have? We have communication at the top level, cooperation in the middle level, and collaboration, well, across the board, really. So communication, cooperation, collaboration, what does that equal? More productivity, higher profits.
Yes.
So soft skills get solid results.
Oh, I like the way you said that. Soft skills get solid results. In fact, that's a great name for a presentation.
There you go.
I really do like that, though, and I will say that, you know, certainly in my experience of what's happening in organizations, association, corporations, and I don't even care if it's a, you know, little tiny entrepreneurial kind of an organization, right now it really is about soft skills, and it is, I think, one of the key differences in who's going to make it through this, let's just call it economically challenging times, and who isn't. Mm. You know,
yeah.
So I really appreciate that. And, you know, I also appreciate your honesty.
Well, thank you.
Your honesty. You're welcome. So now I'm going to ask you a little bit of a challenging question because this brings something up for me. When I wrote my book, Stop Managing, Start Coaching, which is soft skills, I was told, oh, you know, soft skills training and soft skills books, that's not really that necessary. We want the hardcore stuff. And I really studied quite a bit about that to figure out how to respond to that. How do you respond to that, if you don't mind sharing? I know you're a smart lady. You probably understand it better than I do.
Well, boy, you know, that is the truth, that for whatever reason, people think, you know, soft doesn't equal results. And the truth of the matter is it's completely the opposite. And, you know, I'll share some information about that. Again, study after study really does indicate that, and I say soft skills, that covers an even broader range there. But they not only improve performance at every level, but they are right now the most in-demand skills cited by hiring managers. And here's a, you know, couple of real hard statistics here. There was a Job Outlook 2008 survey, so this is recent. This one was conducted by the National Association of Colleges and Employers. And the top characteristics that they were looking for in new hires, and here I'm going to stress new hires for an example to contrast this, were their responses here for the top characteristics that they were looking for were all soft skills, and they included communication ability, you know, a strong work ethic, initiative, interpersonal skills, and teamwork. Now, at least you think that these skills are only needed by new hires. There was also a recent poll that was released, again, in 2008, so it's recent, by the Society of Human Resource Management. And they showed that workplace soft skills have become more important for experienced employees than for new workers. This is interesting. And they cited the skills they were looking for as maybe a little, you know, more precise, but they were saying critical thinking, problem solving, leadership, professionalism, work ethic. There's the work ethic again, the teamwork and collaboration, and adaptability and flexibility. Hmm. So we've covered now both sides of the coin there. And then one last study I want to just bring up. And this one really talked about the fact that even though, you know, credentialing in the forms of degrees and certificates is important, it's really the development of soft skills that is crucial to, well, fostering a dynamic workforce. So the Indiana Business Research Center, they found that the skills projected to be in the highest demand for all Indiana occupations through 2014 included, you'll love this, active listening, critical thinking, speaking, time management, and I love this one, social perceptiveness.
Social perceptiveness.
So, yeah, isn't that interesting?
Is that sort of like the diversity kind of thing? What do you take that to be?
I think but diversity might be a part of it.
Okay.
But I also think that it's being able to just be within a group of people and be appropriate.
Gotcha. Oh, yeah.
I think everybody's plugged in and nobody's, you know, really knowing how to talk to anybody that isn't a text message.
I really do. I do know what you mean by that. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So it just goes back to, if I have to answer that question, I'll just say, you know what, in a challenging economy, soft skills gives your workers the competitive edge, and that's what it does for your business as well. And if they need statistics, I can cite that for sure.
That's what you just said. I mean, that's great to finally hear. I mean, in my gut, it's always been like, oh, come on, but you just gave some really hardcore statistics. So, you know, You said it earlier. You were talking about the challenging economy. You've got to have a competitive advantage. Well, this is what people need to be paying attention and listening to. So, you know, I would say that companies, corporations, organizations, even conferences and conventions, this would be a great topic, whether you're talking to a dental association, chiropractic organization. I mean, you belong on all these stages. and I just want to, you know, just ask you to leave some time to get on my stage as well, because you need to be on my stage too. My folks need to hear you too.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to it. So
good.
We'll pull out the calendars and make that work.
So after you speak, what do you hear? What do people say? And, you know, sort of what happens?
Well, that's a nice thing. And, yeah, you know, I've been fortunate. I've had really wonderful testimonials from people telling me, you know, what a difference I made for them. And not just because of the, you know, the materials, but because I really do share an awful lot of stories from my life that add perspective to the materials. And, you know, I know you know. I'm no stranger to adversity, and I've experienced things I wish upon no one. And, you know, as I mentioned earlier, I do that for my audience. I really do, request that they also become response-able and that they should, you know, be able to be forgiving and understand that their happiness depends upon that. So when I can incorporate that into my programs, then people say things like, oh, Allie made the learning environment fun and full of laughs. And Allie was dynamic and insightful and funny and knowledgeable, so we were entertained while we learned. And, you know, Allie presents a unique way of delivery that seems to easily involve one another. That's a very nice thing to hear from people. And I guess that's the point right there, isn't it? Involve everyone. It is communication, after all, and it's what I love to do.
Well, I certainly hear that from you, and you've given some great examples today of tools, techniques, and why communication is so important. So I just want people to know the best place to reach you is AllieCaseySpeaks.com, which is AllieCaseySpeaks.com. And Allie, how else can they get in touch with you if a meeting planner is ready to book you for an organization?
Well, if they're ready to book me, you know, they should call me at 407-313-4967, 407-313-4967, or as you said, they can go to AllieCaseySpeaks.com and they'll find the information there as well.
Allie, it has been just extraordinary, an honor to have you. I appreciate it. You're so generous and you gave so much information and tips and tools, and you know, that's just a little bit that we were experiencing here in this short, brief time. So I know that you deliver gifts and gifts and gifts when you're on a stage. So I thank you, and I just know that everybody has gotten great value. And again, I really do encourage people. This lady's busy. She gets booked. 407-313-4967 or AllieCaseySpeaks.com. Allie, thank you for being my guest here today.
Terry, it was my pleasure. I really appreciate it, and I had a great time, so thank you.